Welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook. This podcast is brought to you in association with Game Refinery. Join us as we uncover the latest trends in mobile game design.
Hello and welcome to the Mobile Game Dev Playbook. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. This is a podcast all about what makes a great mobile game, what is and isn't working for mobile game designers, and all the latest trends. I'm your host, John Jordan, and joining me today in this episode to talk about live ops and seasonal events and collaborations and all such sort of mashups, we have our two experts. So first up, we have Calais Helkkonen, who is a senior game analyst at the Game Refinery by Bungle, expert in particularly the Chinese market. How's it going, Calais?
Very good. Thanks for asking. How about you?
Yes. Good. We're all getting ready for seasonal things. We're in the particularly seasonal part of the year, so I think it's going to be a good episode looking at those sort of things. And also joining us, we have Wilhelm Valtalainen, who's a senior game analyst, also at Game Refinery by Bungle, and a particular expert on the US market. How's it going, Wilhelm?
Yeah, I'm doing really well. Thank you for asking.
Good. So we're going to kind of cover a bit of ground. We're going to look at, I guess, generally this is seen as sort of live operations, how these mobile games that have been going for now, you know, maybe up to a decade, how they're keeping their audiences sort of re-engaged and coming back, and special events are a massive part of that. And I guess particularly, as we say, kind of seasonal events are a really good way of sort of getting kind of these fantasy game worlds in some cases sort of linked into the real world and getting people sort of excited about these things. So we're going to talk a bit about, I guess, about the difference between sort of Asia and the West, but you're going to sort of kick us off talking about the kind of Western markets and how sort of seasonal events sort of are playing into that and what's going on in the market at the moment. So what's going on?
Yeah. So in the Western market, of course, nowadays, talking about seasonal events, well, first of all, they are currently extremely popular. I think about 90% of top grossing 100 games in the US utilize some kind of seasonal events. And also looking at sort of what kind of different, of course, because there's a lot of different kind of seasonal events you can use, Christmas, New Year, and so on. But many of these top grossing games actually take the opportunity to utilize almost all of these bigger seasonal events. So they have events for Christmas, events for Halloween, for summer, and so on. And we have also been seeing sort of huge rise in the smaller events as well, for example, like Oktoberfest, Midsummer, and so on. And they are, especially the smaller events have been like gaining popularity each year. And then when looking at the sort of the event structure and what kind of the seasonal events usually actually are, well, they have been varying from all the way from just small UI team changes. You know, you have a seasonal team in the UI, limited time EAP offers, all the way from that to like this huge fully-fledged events with special tasks, event currencies, limited time content like seasonal game modes, and of course, pretty much always when there's a bigger event, you have these exclusive seasonal team rewards. But nowadays, I think one of the biggest trends in terms of seasonal events, and I think in terms of the bigger events in general, has actually been that they have been sort of utilizing this same kind of event framework throughout the whole year for all the events. Basically, just you know, you have the usual mechanics in the event, and then they just change the skin from, let's say, there was Christmas event, and then you have Easter event, and it's basically the same event, just new rewards and new team and maybe new story elements and so on. And I think this is actually quite clever way in the terms. Of course, it's event rules and everything is already familiar to the player, but it's also because, of course, there's the live ops and running as much events as possible has been like really proven and working way in the mobile games. So as of course there's also limitations with live ops. So this is a really clever way to enable this utilization of multiple, if not every single seasonal event there is.
I'm surprised it's only 90% of the top 100 grossing games are using seasonal events. I'm trying to think what would be the games that wouldn't use seasonal events. I don't know. why would you not do this? It's kind of a sort of surprising that you'd have a successful game that isn't using these in some ways. I guess there could be some reasons. I don't know if there's anything off the top of your head why you wouldn't do that. But I guess, assuming that games are using seasonal events, it's sort of interesting that games have live ops is basically always having something new in the game, isn't it? So some of those things will be seasonal events. Some of those things will just be sort of the cadence of the game, and you have sort of new sort of character drops, which have nothing to do with what's going on in the real world. But I guess it's as you say, it's you always want something new happening, and so the live ops team sort of gets that framework in, and then to a degree, it's sort of putting in skins. But in some ways, it can be sort of bigger things. Do you think there can be too much live ops? I mean, because there is this idea that you always want sort of some new things in there, so people are not feeling like the game's going stale. There's always sort of there's the game they're playing and the meta they're doing in the game, and then there's these new things. Can it be too confusing, do you think? If we have too much going on, then you sort of load the game and just like, whoa, what's it? Every time you're sort of like trying to work out what the new thing is.
Yeah, I think definitely it can be confusing, and maybe the sort of synergies are not there if there's too many events happening exactly at the same time. But I think what's like really important, and even in the casual genres, there is, I think the most important point, that there is some kind of event almost always going on. Just that they don't overlap too much. I think that's the important thing you have to remember.
For certain, players, they might get overly stressed if they, especially those completionists, if they're not able to, complete all the event content that is available in the game, and there's too much of the event stuff to do, and they get anxious about not being able to, just experiencing all the content and getting, for example, all the limited time items or characters or character skins that would be available to get. So I can definitely think that for certain players, it might even, sort of be a stressful thing to have.
And I guess it is interesting to see that there's probably some seasonal events that probably do work globally better than others. I mean, I guess sort of Christmas or a holiday season around in December sort of roughly works globally, because, obviously West we have it, and in China you sort of have it New Year sort of a bit into January, but we have that sort of month period where it's sort of everyone celebrates that sort of thing. So that's kind of quite a good one. I wonder, the other one I was thinking of was, I don't know how globally it is, but maybe you can talk about this kind of, Calais. Halloween really seems to be one that sort of culturally is now, very, very sort of strong, and it sort of plays, I think it sort of plays in quite well with games, doesn't it? Lots of games would have, Halloween would be something that they would sort of pick up upon. It sort of seems like a very, if game developers were going to invent a sort of seasonal, thing, Halloween would probably be the one they would go for, because it has, everyone immediately sort of knows what it is. Is that very strong in Asia, Halloween?
In general, Halloween actually is a sort of a thing in Japan. Like, if we discuss even outside games, it's a huge thing. If you happen to be, for example, in Tokyo during Halloween times, there's, everyone, wears a costume and goes outside to party on Halloween. So it's definitely a huge thing. In terms of games, I believe it's utilized up to some extent, but I would still say that in these Asian markets, for example, Japan and China, the most important seasonal events that you see in the games are the local ones. Obviously, there are some events that are more sort of have a more global reach. Halloween is probably one of them, yeah, for sure. But like, if we are thinking about the biggest events, then they would probably be some of the ones that we are actually not that familiar in the West. But yeah, I guess I'll discuss them in the later on.
And I guess it kind of equally it is over time. If it's sort of, particularly if they're games that are developed in Asia, then when they're doing their sort of big seasonal events, that sort of leaks into the Western audience, and we start to learn a bit more about sort of those cultures and the sort of the things that are important to them, which is obviously also interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's actually something that we have noticed as well. Like when we are comparing the games in the Asian markets and in the Western markets, so like our Western analysts have been like sometimes saying that, hey, we have these Lunar New Year events in Western games as well. So yeah. True.
And I suppose it isn't, no, I mean, just on a very superficial level, it is, you know, if you have any Chinese audience, the Chinese New Year, there'll always be, you know, the year of whatever animal it is will be something that will be, you know, will be seen as quite common for you to sort of reflect in the game, wouldn't it? What do we think about things like kind of, you mentioned it there, Wilhelm, like Oktoberfest, which is quite a, I mean, obviously in the West, I suppose, in Europe, we've seen sort of that spread over time and people have this, you know, this sort of idea of sort of German beer and sausage sort of month or something like that. I mean, can we have events that are just, they're sort of too small an audience that, or is just, you know, is Oktoberfest something, you know, is that actually quite a good one? Because even if you don't know what Oktoberfest is, if you're in Australia, it doesn't really matter. You can sort of understand it's just an in-game event around something and it doesn't really matter. Do these events need to have some sort of resonance for the audience, do you think?
Well, I think, for example, if let's say you have a game that has to have, you want to have event every single month and during the Oktoberfest, I think just before Halloween, you think, okay, what kind of event do we have? Do we want to have? What kind of theme do we want to have for our event this month? Well, you can have, of course, you can come up with some kind of event theme from your game. But I think, like, utilizing, of course, not everybody is like super familiar what Oktoberfest is. But like, I think most people have still heard about it. So seeing some kind of familiar Oktoberfest in your game, I think that's something that the games have been like utilizing a lot. Talking about like Oktoberfest and these smaller, more specific events, and of course they are for smaller seasonal events like the Oktoberfest. That really isn't usually like this sort of anything super new in the game. It's just that, you know, the Oktoberfest skin on top of the your usual monthly event with some Oktoberfest themed rares and so on. But yeah, that's actually been really popular, the Oktoberfest as well. All around the games.
I say one thing that does sort of I have noticed in games, particularly around Christmas, where, you know, they generally, I guess, sort of mid-December, you sort of in the game, you sort of maybe have sort of on the main menu, there sort of gets a snow theme or something, or, you know, sort of red Santa Claus hats and stuff. But I have found in previous years that while games are sort of quite keen on sort of getting in early to these big seasonal events, they can still be like in mid-January and you're still in sort of Christmas theme, which maybe it's just sort of my personal thing. I always kind of think, oh, that's you know, that seems like they've forgotten to sort of update the game, and this, you know, we're still, you know, we're on the 15th of January and everyone's like, oh, it's a new year, and we're still on Christmas theme. So is that something sort of you notice? I mean, how quickly should sort of you think these things, because I guess they do, because if you haven't been there too long, they sort of become the opposite of what they're supposed to be, which is keeping the game fresh. They sort of become, you know, oh, they're a bit tired that, you know, everyone stopped Christmas and in the game it's still Christmas.
Well, I think after, like, of course, there's pretty much every game has some kind of Christmas themed event that are running events. Then you have the New Year. But usually after that, they actually, for the January, they're, I think the most common seasonal event is this kind of winter event. So I think that's like that usually what the games do in the West.
They can keep the snow and just take away the Santa Claus hats. Maybe that's the compromise. We talked a bit about kind of seasonal events in the West. We'll talk about China later. The other sort of thing, which is sort of linked, I guess, in terms of live ops things, is this: we're seeing increasing amounts of collaboration, and those are collaborations between brands typically, and often, I guess, they are. The ones that come to my mind, at least, are collaborations between sort of games and non-gaming brands. And clearly, as games get bigger and as brands sort of want to market to those audiences, we're seeing a lot more of that. So what sort of trends do you see from that?
Yeah, of course. Well, the first trend is, of course, the collaboration itself becoming extremely popular, especially in this game that have really heavy live ops in the mid-core category, for example. But like some really good examples, I think, of course, it really depends on the game, what kind of the event is and the collaborate, what sort of brands they collaborate with. But for example, one of the biggest sort of collaboration the biggest games that use collaborations is Roblox. I think that's like really good example. For their events, I think most of the, like 9 out of 10 different events that they run in the game are some kind of collaborations. For example, they just had collaboration with, they have had actually these concert events quite often now where different artists sort of do their album releases inside the Roblox in this virtual experience. So they just had one with the 21 Pilots. And of course, before that, they've had with Zara Larsson and Lil Nas X also. But on top of that, they had the sort of the 21 Pilots experience, they also had at the same time, they did with the collaboration with Vans. So whole another collaboration. So what they did actually that they created this Vans, huge Vans game inside Roblox, where it's got, you get this sort of Tony Hawk pro skater feeling, because it's basically a hangout social area where players can skate. It's basically a permanent game inside Roblox with the Vans team, and players can purchase Vans items and skateboards and what else to their character. So those are like really good examples. And also, actually, MOBA called Mobile Against Bang Bang. We have actually seen, because, well, I could talk about this, go really deep about this, but like MOBAs are probably one of the hardest genres to monetize, because they have to rely really heavily on the cosmetic economies to avoid pay to win. So how Mobile Legends Bang Bang has actually been able to monetize extremely well is through these collaboration events. They just had, for example, collaboration event with Transformers, where basically there was like this super cool exclusive skins that player could use for their favorite heroes. Like Optimus Prime and those, and how players could get them is that basically through these special gachas. But those are basically like there's so much possibilities in utilizing collaboration events. I think the exclusive characters are just one like extremely good example.
I guess again it sort of comes back to a bit what we were discussing with the live ops things is. I guess it's kind of finding the balance of if like every week there's a new collaboration, then it's sort of like, yeah, you sort of quickly, they're not sort of special. And obviously some collaborations are just with bigger brands than others. So it's sort of an interesting sort of kind of cadence, how you play that out. It's kind of going back to what you said, Calais, a little bit. If you have completists and you have sort of too many collaborations and they sort of feel like they're just being, oh, I've got to spend more money to get these things. And it's a difficult balancing act. The Roblox one, I guess, is easier because it is just an event. And
a huge metaverse game.
Yeah, and events are just kind of, obviously you're not paying for anything. You're just sort of turning up to do it. And there may be things to buy around that. But the reason you're going for that and the ones in Fortnite is because you're there. It's sort of the live experience, which is... which is, I guess, a kind of interesting, almost like in between collaboration and seasonal thing. I mean, it's not seasonal in that sense, but it's sort of live events in games. And I guess not most games can't sort of sustain that technically, but I guess over time we'll see more and more of that sort of appointment gaming or whatever term we want to use, where you just you get all your audience in to see this kind of cool thing.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a very good point, and I would argue that the collaboration events, they work better in some games and worse in some other games, but especially like in those games like Fortnite and Roblox, which are these social hangout things are a very big part of the overall experience. And then that, enables you to create this huge hype with, for example, with the concerts and the stuff that you have coming up with the collaboration events. So I think like they've been very clever with utilizing collaborations with the sort of the game modes and the game mechanics that they have in these types of games. And I think it was a very good point, John, that you mentioned the seasonality of things, because I think that these games are also utilizing that up to some extent. For example, the Fortnite just had the Ariana Grande thing, and it was actually something that lasted for several different weeks that had several different phases for. So in phase one, you had these quests. In phase two, you had these quests. So it was almost like a multiple week extravaganza with the Ariana Grande event.
But that was so elaborate, wasn't it? I mean, just you say the build up to it, and then the actual event itself was. I mean, there's probably only a handful of companies in the world, even if they had this sort of game in which you could do that event, who would be able to sort of spend the resources. I mean, I don't know how many people they've had working on that, but clearly, yeah, they're sort of building a fairly substantial game within a game. I wonder if it's sort of... And then the problem for them, I guess, becomes the next big event they do is sort of, well, we did that last time, how are you going to better it? It almost becomes diminishing returns that you're putting so much resources into these completely over the top experiences, which are fantastic, but how do you sort of do it? How do you do that without competing with yourself every time? You know, how can you do that in a way which sort of fulfills the sort of excitement and the desires of your audience, but doesn't totally blow your budget? I mean, I suppose Epic don't really care. That's sort of part of the thing of Epic saying, you know, we are the sort of top developer for lots of reasons in this space. So maybe they don't care less about it. But I guess for more. I guess what we kind of think about in these sort of podcasts is just for, you know, just general game developers who don't necessarily have a lot of resources. They're thinking about how, you know, I've got a certain amount of resource. Where do I place that? It's sort of, you know, finding a balance between these enormous great events.
Yeah, I think, well, we already talked about utilizing the same event framework.
Yeah.
I think especially for smaller developers, I think that's definitely one of the best ways to do it if you want to have as many different events as you want. As you can.
Yeah, and to add to that, not all the collaboration events have to be, you know, Ariana Grande concerts. They can be much smaller scale ones as well. Like we've seen just events where you have some special character skins from certain external IP and stuff like that, and they can work as well.
And I guess, you know, at the smaller level, and even at the big level, particularly on the smaller level, is it's kind of thinking about, you know, you're not going to get the very, you know, you haven't got the funds to do these very big deals, but you know, effectively, sort of everything is a brand now, isn't it? I mean, if you're in sort of, I don't know, trying to, you know, if you're in clothing or kind of, you know, kind of, I don't know, trainers or fitness or, you know, and obviously with the influence as well. So everything is a brand now. So it's sort of, I guess, finding a sort of brand that, you know, you can work with on a good basis and sort of in some way appeals to your audience And I guess maybe the interesting thing now for some of the smaller games is sort of actually working with a small brand, but sort of getting a collaboration that sort of builds up. So you, if it's with a band or something like that, you're a small band and you're sort of bringing them to your audience, they're enjoying it, you're doing more of it, the band gets bigger, you sort of get bigger. And that's actually that's much harder work than just sort of dropping millions of dollars to get a big artist into your game. But that's an interesting sort of part of the wider sort of marketing that games, you know, should be doing at all times, isn't it? Really, so lots of opportunities there. Kelly, do you want to talk to us a little bit about the sort of Asian market and how this is going? Because the collaborations are, I guess, on a different level, particularly in places like Japan, where they have so many of these sort of brands.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think we can start with the collaboration. So we already mentioned that they are big in the West, but they are obviously very big in Asia. And someone could argue that sort of the origin of collaboration events is actually in Japan. I just looked at our data and collaboration events in top 100 grossing games are utilized in 50% of the games in China and in 65% of games in Japan. So very, very big in Japan. Didn't look at the number for West, but I believe that it's not that far away in the West as well currently. But yeah, in Japan, it's very common to, you know, have, it's like you can have one IP to appear in multiple different types of games. So one that is very popular is, for example, the Persona gaming franchise. And then when it comes to, obviously, there's numerous IPs, manga franchises that appear in Japanese RPGs. But one that just caught my eye is the Attack on Titan. because it just has just appeared in so many different games. It is like I have this is just a list of some of the games that our Japanese analysts have seen the Attack on Titan IP, and I can see 11 top 200 crossing games that, you know, have had some sort of Attack on Titan collaboration event in them, including Knives Out and Monster Strike, for example. So collaborations are big in Japan, but they are big in China as well. And in terms of China, one thing that I need to mention here is KFC, so Kentucky Fried Chicken. Wouldn't probably be the first one to come to your mind when you think about which brand would be a very suitable fit for a collaboration event in a mobile game. But after, like, I don't know, the fifth or sixth or the seventh collaboration event, like, we were like, okay, looks like this is the IP that every single Chinese games wants to have in their sort of event portfolio. So just like giving you some examples of games, Moonlight Blade, which is very, very popular MMO in China. They had a KFC collaboration event where fans of the game could purchase a KFC meal, you know, a real KFC meal in a real KFC restaurant, and then through that get some in-game items in the Moonlight Blade game, including some KFC-themed cosmetic items. So for all the KFC fans, they can, you know, show those off in the game as well. Then in also a very popular RPG game called Onmyoji, they utilize actually location-based technology in the event. So they incorporated 5,000 different KFC locations in this event. So players could look up in the game those different KFC locations, go to those KFC restaurants, and then in those restaurants, or I believe like in the near vicinity of those restaurants, they could then battle some specific special Onmyoji monster enemies, monster ghosts, and then through that get various kinds of rewards. And they could also invite their friends to fight these ghosts as well. And then maybe the third one to mention here is Genshin Impact. That's a game that is probably familiar to everyone in the West as well. So they had just, you know, branded meals, limited time Diluc. So Diluc is a character in Genshin Impact. Had the Diluc branded buckets that you could buy in KFC stores, and they were branded with the famous red and white colored wings from the Genshin franchise. So that's been something that's been really interesting to follow in the sort of Chinese collaboration scene.
I guess it's interesting that, because that's not really, from the example you were giving, that's more sort of using the game to drive kind of, you know, kind of real world activity to drive people to buy, you know, KFC stuff, rather than it doesn't seem like, because obviously, you know, what KFC item would you have in the game? Because a lot of the collaborations now around sort of fashion stuff are about having in-game items that are you know, the digital representation of the real life thing. And I guess for most games, having a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken in the game doesn't really make any sense. So the fact that the brand is actually really sort of loose, you know, it's a very sort of loose thing in the game. It's not really impacting in the game, but it's driving sort of gamers to change their real world behavior, which is kind of like, I guess, the opposite of a lot of the collaborations that we're seeing.
The IP that wants to collaborate, obviously there's, you know, they get more brand outreach in the game, and then also the game gets more visibility in the for example in the KFC store. So yeah, I guess it's a win-win for both sides.
And it just sort of, when you said that, reminded me that KFC had that crazy, they called it the cooler or something, didn't they? They did this big, I don't know if it was just a meme thing, where they did a PC built into some sort of KFC, I think it was a fridge or something. It was some really weird, I need to check it up. It was some really weird thing that they did about a year ago. So obviously they're quite good. Yeah, the KF console.
I have a recollection of that one as well.
It was an oven, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know KFC was so big in China. It's one of those weird things.
It's huge, yeah. Well, I would assume that one of their biggest markets probably.
Mm.
But yeah, on maybe I'll just continue a bit on the sort of Asian seasonal events as well. So it, like I mentioned in the beginning, so China and Japan, they have their own seasonal stuff and own event thing, like event related content that is very popular in these markets, and there it's somewhat different than in the West. Maybe a couple of highlights to throw out here is that in China you have the Singles Day that happens on 11th of November. I think it's getting relatively popular here in the West as well. At least here in Finland, you can see, you know, it appearing in you know, like big stores advertising it. But anyway, in China, it's huge. It's, you know, it's the Black Friday in China. So all kinds of promotions, like in think about mobile games. What you see during the Singles Day is that you have these huge, you know, promotions, bundles, discounts. So if ever there's a time to think about making you know, attractive promotions or offers or bundles, then that's definitely the day to do that. Then there's the Chinese New Year that we discussed already. I think one thing to mention about that is that because it's such a long holiday, so in mobile games, what we see is that the Chinese New Year events, there's multiple different sort of stages to the event, how they roll out. So in week one, they roll out these things, and then in week two, they roll out these next couple of sub-events or stuff like that, and so on. So that's something that they clearly do. And then one specific thing is the red envelopes that you see in the games. I think we see them in the West as well, right, Wilhelm? So
yeah, I think during the Lunar New Year events, at least.
Yeah. So the idea is that you, like the original idea is that you give your friends or relatives these red envelopes. They always contain money, and in games, obviously, you can also, you know, give in-game currencies to your fame and your friends and stuff like that. So that's utilized as well. And then some other big festivals, the May celebrations, and then the Mid-Autumn Festival is actually going on right now, is very, very big. And then there's in June, there's Dragon Boat Festival. And maybe one thing to mention about that is that always the sort of the limited time currencies are in the form of a zongzi. And I can perhaps zongzi is a term that doesn't ring any bells to anyone listening to this podcast, but it's a traditional Chinese rice dish made of this sort of glutinous rice stuffed with different fillings. And it's these green triangle things that you see in all the mobile games during Dragon Ball Festival. So whenever the Dragon Ball Festival is coming up, what you see in mobile games is these zongzi limited time currencies. So for all the sort of Western developers going to China, if you are doing Dragon Ball Festival limited time currencies, remember to put the zongzis in there. And then just a couple of pointers in Japan. In Japan, you have these June brides in June. So the June bride concept, it's said that, you know, couples who marry during the month of June, they will live happily ever after. So during that month, games are also filled with, you know, special versions of characters that wear bridal dresses or if they're male, then tuxedos and stuff like that. And if it's a game that revolves around romance or proposal themes, then you have these special storylines that are themed around, you know, flowers and women with rings in their hands and beautiful brides and stuff like that. And then maybe one other thing to mention is the beach themed events during summertime in Japan. So summers in Japan are very hot. And this, you know, July and August especially, so that's also a typical time to take a break from school. And that's something that can be seen in games interfaces as well. It's typical for the characters to wear beach attire during, you know, summer events. And you often see special limited time versions of, you know, character skins for wearing, you know, beach outfits and stuff like that. So that's something to take a note of if you are in the Japanese market and are thinking about what kind of limited time content to have during the summertime.
Good. I mean, it's good to know that there are a lot of these things which are obscure. I guess we're not getting too globalized that everything is popular everywhere because there's just too many festivals. So the Dragobert one's interesting that people so for that one they actually create specific currencies just for those events. So it'd be a new currency.
Yeah, well, that's actually a pretty common thing to do. Like one of the sort of elements that you do in live events that you have, you know, own live event economy, and in that economy you have a limited time shop and limited time currency. So that's nothing extraordinary. But then during that time of the year, the limited time currency, so it's not going to be in Halloween it would be pumpkins, for example. But in this during those events it would be those those Zongzi things.
Good. So I think we've probably done seasonality for for this year at least. I hope that has been useful for people. I guess there are always sort of interesting sort of granularities you can find, and I guess while there are these big ones, these big seasonal events that everyone celebrates. I think some of the stuff we sort of pointed out is you need to find out what is interesting for your audience, whether that sort of could do very local seasonal stuff if you have a very local audience, and certainly when it comes to collaborations, finding out which are the sort of the best collaborations for your audience, and finding out sort of what your audience likes or what your audience wants to know more about if you're trying to kind of work with smaller brands. But anyway, thank you very much, Calais, and thank you very much, Wilhelm, for your expertise.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and watching. We're available through the usual audio podcast channels and also video as well. So we hope you're enjoying the podcast or the video cast. Please, if you are, do give us some feedback, particularly on the podcast side. If you give us some reviews, that will be really great. Helps other people find the podcast as well. And don't forget to come back next time. We are regularly looking into the world of mobile games and seeing what is going on. There's always loads of interesting stuff to delve into. So I hope you're enjoying it. Come back next time and see you then.